You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is the most dramatic podcast ever. An iHeartRadio podcast. Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima coming to you from the home office in Austin, Texas. It has been a busy couple of weeks, and we're excited to sit down and chat with each other, but to chat with you as well. LZ, we just got done with the Mac Jack McConaughey. We had our own experience camps. And then my own experience, saying goodbye to Joshua in La Crosse. So it's been busy.
I just realized that we've done several episodes of the podcast, but not like catch up, what's up moments. Yeah. So yes, so many charity things lately, which has been really heartwarming and wonderful. The biggest one, we held an event I called Cocktails for Camp for experience camps here at our house. If you haven't heard us talk about it before, Experience Camps is the nonprofit that I volunteer for, which puts on therapeutic and super fun summer camps for grieving kids, for kids who have lost a parent, a primary caregiver, or a sibling. So I got involved because my dad died when I was in college, and these camps are incredible. They do so much for the kids. They give them an escape from their grief. They give them counseling about their grief, and they give them other kids to relate to, kids who understand what they're going through. Grief is hard enough for adults. It's certainly tough for kids. And the reason we held this event and what I'm so happy to announce on the podcast is that Experience Camps has committed to opening their first camp location here in Texas, which I wish we had an applause sound effect there.
We'll add that. We'll add that in post.
It's such,
and the crowd goes wild.
Yes. It's such wonderful news. I mean, it's such a privilege for me to be involved in this organization. If you want to be a counselor, you can apply online to volunteer. If you have kids or know kids who would need to go to these one of these camps, you can send them. But the problem is you can apply, but the problem is there are wait lists at every location currently. And when you consider the population of Texas, a camp is so deeply needed here. Right now, any grieving kids in Texas who want to go to camp have to go out of state. And Texas is such a big state that grief resources are really spread out and scarce for lots of the kids here in Texas. Yeah. So I'm so excited.
One of the things I learned at the camp from the folks that came and spoke here at the house for like the kids in Uvalde after the school shooting, mm-hmm. were driving 3 and 4 hours to get help. There is, Texas is greatly underserved in that area. So you can follow at Experience Camps. It is such a phenomenal experience. It's such a phenomenal organization. And I'm excited to get this going in Texas. One of the things I love is they really want to launch this thing where it has the runway to keep going. And then, like you said, once you're invited, you're always invited back. So we have to open
for the kids.
Yeah, we have to open new doors for mm-hmm. new kids so everybody can get involved.
So we got to raise money for that. Yeah.
Let's get busy.
That was, we had a fundraising and awareness raising event at our house. We had some wonderful musicians there. What I tried to do was create, we do these campfires at camp 3 times a week in the week long session that the kids are there. And at these campfires, they take the traditional campfire idea, but give it this really emotional, framework. And so usually a counselor or camp employee will, or even camp kid will like perform a song. A few kids from the camp will be asked to speak about their loss and their experience with loss. And then at the final campfire of the week, every single kid in camp gets the opportunity to get up if they want, say the name of the person they lost, say something about that person if they want to. So it's really, really meaningful. And we did a little mini campfire at our event where we had some musicians perform, Madison Wolf and Chrissy Finiak. Thank you to both of them. They both performed songs about loss, which were incredible. I wish I could share them here on the podcast, but we don't have the rights, but they're amazing. So give them a follow.
And we're coming to New York soon. We're going to be hosting the National Gala for this here in a couple of weeks.
Yes, on May 9th, we are hosting the Experience Camps Gala in New York. So I say all this to say, if this is a cause that speaks to you, you can donate, you can get involved. We need to raise money for this camp location here in Texas, and that is going to be a massive commitment for me and for Chris over the next couple of years. How did you feel? I haven't asked you this about the event, actually. Because we did this kind of mini campfire and we had these musicians perform and I got up and spoke, and we also had Andrea Palmer, a wonderful doctor from Fort Worth, and her daughter Lorelai come and speak. And Lorelai was a camper.
Yeah.
They're from Fort Worth, Texas, but because there's no camp in Texas, Lorelai had to go to the camp in Atlanta, Georgia. And they spoke about their loss of Andrea's husband, Lorelai's dad, Blake Palmer. How did you feel listening like to me talk about my dad, to them talk? What was going through your mind? Or were you just worried about taking video? Because I had demanded, I'd been like, be sure to film this, babe.
I was the social media warrior that night. No, it was, you know, when you hear everyone's experience with grief, and it's something that, like you said, we're all touched by it in very different ways. So, you know, some is the more, I guess you would call the traditional way. Like my grandparents, they lived a great fruitful life, and in their old age they died, and mm-hmm. the natural order, I guess you would say, of things. These are rip the band-aid off grief moments that are out of order. And when you hear how it affects especially kids, and I've heard your perspective and learning more and more every day, but when you hear when you see this young woman and you realize what that death did to her and how it just tore her life apart, and how she's pieced it back together with the help of all these camps and these experiences, it is heart-wrenching, moving, but it's oddly motivational.
How do you mean?
Just, it gives you hope because these people are so strong.
Yeah.
You hear this young girl who has the strength that you would hope you would have in a serious situation as an adult, with all the experiences I have in my life of 5 decades of being on this earth, and this young girl has it now, unfortunately, and she had mm-hmm. to get it because it's, you know, it's roll over and let your life pass you by or survive. And mm-hmm. she's thriving, and it's in large part due to these camps. And so, and you hear more and more of these stories, it is, I think it's okay to call it motivational. Like there's beauty in it.
Yeah, babe, I love that. I mean, that's something I always say. I think it makes people a little uncomfortable when you say there are good things out of grief, but like, I think grief made me a much stronger person at a young age. It gave me perspective on what mattered in life at a really young age. And that's really valuable. I'm grateful for that. but you certainly have to like give people the tools to succeed through that hardship, like you just said. And that's something, or you hopefully you can give them these tools. Experience camps gives these kids these tools. Lorelai in her speech said, which I've heard lots of kids say, she's like, well, seeing that the counselors were okay, that they'd been through loss, mm-hmm. and that they were okay, helped me know I would be okay. Because kids are sitting here going, my whole world just blew up. What is my future going to be? And it's also, it really hitting me what you just said about like the normal way of losing people or the right way. That always strikes me because that's like the only thing we learn about, right? And maybe it's to not scare kids, but when you're young, no one talks about like, what if someone you love dies really suddenly? Like, or you don't get educated on how to handle it. We think, oh, you grow old and you die. And as I've gotten older, I feel like actually what I learn is I'd be interested in the statistics, but more often than not, most people don't have the beautiful death that your grandparents had.
Right.
Most people don't live into their, I mean, your grandmother was 99
and,
your grandfather was what, in his late 80s?
Yeah, late 80s.
Most people, and I'm so glad that they lived that life because they were so influential on your family, but most people don't have this like beautiful live to 99, die in your sleep moment that your grandmother had. And she went through a lot of other hardships, but we don't prepare people for sudden death, for illness, for car accidents, for all that. And yet, it's very normal. And so that's why not only does being involved in experience camps matter to me, but talking about grief and helping people know that it's normal and their feelings are normal, even though they're hard. And that, like you just said, you got to use those feelings and push through.
You wake up with a sore throat and low-grade fever. The worst feeling, right? When you know you're getting sick, your choices are A, get sicker and miss work, B, hope to see a doctor, or C, sit hours in a crowded urgent care waiting room. Nope, not me. I have a smarter option, my medical emergency kit. When you get your own medical emergency kit, you just match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription in your kit. No waiting to see the doctor, you get well faster. This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. How great is that? It includes doctor's prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues like COVID, strep throat, pneumonia, all kinds of infections, including UTIs, and many more. Plus, a doctor's guide so you'll know exactly which med to take and how. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Chris and use promo code Chris. That's promo code Chris at twc.health/Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabel, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hot on the heels of the Experience Camps event, which was awesome here at the house, there's this annual event here in Austin, the Mac, Jack, and McConaughey And this is a huge, huge event here in Austin.
They were in their 12th year.
12th year.
I was learning from them. I was like watching and getting inspired because we had just done this very first X Camps event here in Austin, and they're in year 12, and they're now on a 3-day charity bender.
Yeah, this is a bender.
I mean, there are 2 golf tournaments, a fashion show, 2 concerts, multiple galas, and they raise so much.
By the way, Mac and Jack, you probably know who McConaughey is. Mac Brown, who is a former kind of legendary coach here at the University of Texas, won the national title back in the day with them. Now he's the head coach at North Carolina. And then, of course, Jack Ingram, who's a country music star, had a number one hit back in, 2005, and has had a bunch of top 40 hits, 11 albums he's released, and just a sweetheart of a guy. So Mac Brown, Jack, and then Matthew McConaughey, who you may have heard of. And they each three have a separate entity and benefit charity group that have to do with kids, and they raise millions and millions of dollars. But as Lauren said, this is a 3-day event. It has grown and grown and grown. The first night, there's a golf tournament, and then Luke Combs played a couple of years ago. Kenny Chesney last year with Garth Brooks. This year, Luke Combs.
I'm impressed because Matthew and his wife Camilla, who is such a wonderful, lovely woman, they are on the ground doing all of it. You know, I think we're similar to them, and we're like, when you're involved in something, show up and do it. They host things, they show up at things, they really put their time and energy into it. And I think they raised a record amount this year, like upwards of 10, well over $12 million,
something like that. Yeah. By the way, all three of them, Mac Brown, Jack Ingram, and McConaughey, they divide and conquer. So they are at every event. So while, you know, McConaughey and his wife were at the fashion event, the other two guys are at the golf event. They are glad handing nonstop. I like that they're not just the face and the name of this. They actually get involved, which is cool. Can we talk about the auction just for a second? Because you and I have been to hundreds of auctions.
Charity auctions.
I've been to some crazy ones where you're like, oh, wow, that was nuts. I've never been to an auction where an item went for $4.6 million. That happened at this auction.
You know, you and I were out of the running at that point. I mean, look.
I gave up at 3.9.
Yeah, I mean, we've been successful. We've worked hard. But 4.6 milli for one thing, I thought, I'm not in this ballpark.
This is one of those auctions. As soon as they did the opening bid, we were out.
Yes. And again, I am grateful for our lives, and we're blessed, but we're not dropping a couple million on one item. There were only a few people in the room who could do that, but it made me realize, I read a statistic the other day that Austin has now cracked the top 10 cities in the country with, in terms of number of millionaires. We just made it for the first time at number 10. And I thought, okay, a couple of those people in the room tonight.
Apparently they were throwing it around. It was, you know, what's funny is because I've never seen it, and I thought, okay, is this interesting to me? And then I look around, and at this point, there were thousands of people in the house getting ready for the Luke Combs concert, and everybody had their phones out. Like, everybody was like, this is not happening. This is crazy, crazy money. But the good news is it all went to a great cause, great causes, and it was a hell of an event. And Luke Combs, by the way, first time I had seen him live, crushed it. My God, he has a golden voice.
Can I back up to the auction for a minute and ask you a couple? You've actually been to way more of these than me. I just kind of started going to them when you and I started dating.
And I've hosted a bunch.
Yes, and we've hosted them together. And we definitely know, you know, when you're hosting them, it's, you're walking that line between, like, you don't want to lecture people and be like, take out your wallets. This is the right thing to do. You have to make it a show for them. You have to make it entertaining and fun. And I mean, I have whored Chris Harrison out before. We were hosting an event for the AIM Youth Mental Health Organization in California. And I was like, okay, everybody, we're just going to raise some money at the end here. $500 and Chris Harrison will come kiss you on the cheek or something. Or maybe it was $1,000. I don't know, but we got a lot. And I was definitely whoring you out it's for the youth. It's for the kids. But when you're at events like that, don't you also think it's an interesting read on people? Like, it's for a great cause and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And like we said, I'm not playing at that level of $4.6 million for an auction item. But it's interesting when you see, like, I think one thing I've learned is, you know, there's some people who give when they're seen giving. And then there's some people who, like, just really do the right thing behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. The best type of person is the one who will do both. What do you feel like you've learned about the human psyche?
The human element? Yeah,
after doing so many of these events over the years.
I think it's peer pressure is what you're talking about.
Well, I'm saying there are people who I know, who we know, who, and I don't love when people talk about how much money they have, but there are some people who talk about how much money they have. And then you see them at events like this and you're like, well, your paddle wasn't really going in the air. Like, what's going on? And you can't help but wonder. And maybe they give in private, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, there is definitely a peer pressure element. Like, you know, the raise the paddle. When you're in that room and there's that fervor and you get excited at the auction, I think there is the element of people love to be seen being benevolent, getting recognition for that. Very, you know, there are those that will just, like, I think someone just did this actually at MIZ, ZOU. They donated anonymously a truckload of money just anonymously to one of the programs there. I think it was sports, but still, it was just interesting. It was completely anonymous. Yeah. But yeah, I think there are two types of people that in giving.
Well, and there are two, you can look at it two different ways. Like one, obviously it's good. The money's going towards the organization and it sets an example. I mean, that's why I think it's important to volunteer publicly, to donate publicly to, and take it however you want. Some people, you know, there might be the element of, I don't know. I think we can all judge it. Sometimes you're like, oh, that person really likes to be seen doing what they're doing, but you also want to set that example. But it's just interesting. It's an interesting read on these things.
Yeah. The human behavior is interesting. The crowd mentality. And
I think in another life, I would have liked to be a therapist.
I think you are.
Nice.
In this life,
I think in our marriage,
you are. Before we move on from that, I just got to give a shout out to Mac Brown, the head coach, and his wife. I met them years ago through this Texas Cultural Trust, this big arts award. This is years ago. They held a luncheon that Laura Bush spoke at, and I met them, and they were just lovely, and they were fans of the show, and I hadn't seen them in years. And he came up to me, and he's just been such a big supporter of me and now of you, and they just a dear person. And we had several great conversations where he just put his hand on my shoulder, and he was just, I think once a head coach, always a head coach. And he just gave me this long talk of love and support and everything that you and I have been through and how much he supported us. And I just, what a dear man.
Like, his wife, Sally, was so lovely to us as well. They're sweet people.
Yeah. So just want to send love out to in North Carolina for those of you, you know, those Tar Heel fans, because he's the head coach at UNC. You know what you got. You got a legend over there. They don't get any better than Mac Brown.
Yeah. He just does it right. He's just a good person. Yeah. You can tell. So what did he, any takeaways from his coaching session with you?
Well, what's funny is, you know, when everybody was getting unruly at the auction and he wanted to get attention, he's used to, when he walks in a room, he's the head frickin' coach. You shut up. And when he speaks, you listen. That's your job. And it's funny, when you're in a totally different arena, he was speaking or people were getting a little rowdy, and he would stop and like admonish everybody. And I'm like, once a coach, always a coach. It was funny for him to be like, hey.
You've said that about coaches before, and I see it. I think coaches are like always coaches in and out of their daily lives.
Great job, guys. It was a heck of a year. Now I need to recover for the next 12 months so we can do it again. I think that was our version of Stagecoach. That's the Austin, which is going on now.
Is it?
Yeah. So the Wendy.
Stagecoach used to be a real Bachelor. Remember, there were a couple seasons there where there was real Bachelor drama happening at Stagecoach.
Yeah, I'm sure it still is.
It was a real connecting moment.
Yeah.
I'm not a music festival person.
Oh, man. I went once and it is, I'm not going to lie.
It looks dusty.
It's a nightmare.
It's
our nightmare. It's dusty. It's windy. It's hot. It is just so many people, and it's just, getting in and out's a nightmare. I'm like, I don't know why we do this. It was pretty miserable.
It's one of those things where but I'm not a music festival person, but I do think, you know, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking here, but it's the social media danger sometimes of things looking great on social media. And did you actually enjoy it in real life?
You wake up with a sore throat and low-grade fever. The worst feeling, right? When you know you're getting sick, your choices are A, get sicker and miss work, B, hope to see a doctor, or C, sit hours in a crowded urgent care waiting room. Nope, not me. I have a smarter option, my medical emergency kit. When you get your own medical emergency kit, you just match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription in your kit. No waiting to see the doctor. You get well faster. This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. How great is that? It includes doctor's prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues like COVID, strep throat, pneumonia, all kinds of infections, including UTIs, and many more. Plus, a doctor's guide so you'll know exactly which med to take and how. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Chris and use promo code Chris. That's promo code Chris at twc.health/Chris. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. Don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman. Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's finish up what we've been up to with what was, it'll be the perfect final moment to discuss, because it was a final moment for you and for Josh, your wonderful son. He played his very last lacrosse game ever. The TCU men's lacrosse team, Go Frogs, made it to the playoffs.
Made it to the semis. Lost to the University of Texas. Who's awesome, by the way. Congrats to the Horns, who went on to win the conference. They're going to the national championship tournament. They're really good. So congrats to them. But yeah.
So I didn't go because I had to finish up going to some Jack McConaughey things and represent us. And you went and had those final moments with Josh. But we were kind of texting and talking during the whole thing about how this was pretty emotional for you.
It was, you know, we've talked a little bit about that last time, whatever that last moment is, walking off a field, crossing the stage at graduation, the last play. So Josh played in his last game and I got emotional because it kind of took me back to my last game, you know, many, many, many years ago playing college soccer and just knowing what he was about to go through. And it's interesting. And I watched him. He played a hell of a game, played his heart out. They all did. And then, you know, he walked off the field and you could tell right away, just kind of hit him. And the other players, the juniors, sophomores, freshmen coming up and giving him a big hug. He's been a leader. He's a captain of the team. And it's the passing of the torch and it's the turning of a page for him. And it hit him. He got emotional, tears in his eyes. And I was so proud of him just watching the reaction of the other guys, which says all I need to know about him as a man, as a leader, leaving that impact on the program. It's things we all hope to do. You leave it better than you found it. And he definitely did, but kind of a bittersweet father-son moment.
Why was it bittersweet?
Just
because it's over.
Yeah, it's over. I've really enjoyed watching him play. I've had great, I mean, this is something, a journey he started when he was 9 years old. His coach, Blair, shout out to Coach Blair, reached out to me. He was the first coach Josh had when he was starting lacrosse, and Josh was not great. He had just gone through a growth spurt. He had the feet of a Labrador retriever and, you know, he was falling all over himself and he's using a big stick and, you know, cause he's not tall enough yet. And, this coach really took him under his wing and, you know, and he reached out to me and this meant a lot. You also realize this means a lot cause it's the turning of a page in the passage of time for a lot of people. Our former assistant and his former coach and, you know, grandparents and all of us kind of, you feel these passages of time as well as he does.
Yeah, there, I mean, there's definitely these milestone moments, right? And we have them, and different cultures are different. But in America, it's like, you know, you're turning 18, you're going to college, you're finishing college, you're getting your first job, you're getting your first apartment. And Josh is in the second half of those now. And so there's a lot of reflecting. And what made me so happy was seeing, and Chris put together, well, I'll be honest, I edited for Chris. I put together.
You did. I gave you the footage.
A reel on Instagram of these little clips of Josh hugging his teammates and crying a little bit, like tearing up a little bit. And that made me so happy because, like, for many reasons. One, I was literally seeing, and I knew it, but I was seeing it, the friendships he's made, the connections he's made. And I texted him this. I'm like, Josh, honey, you did everything right. This is what you're supposed to get out of something like a team at school. You're supposed to get, you know, the relationships, and these will be your friends for life. In college, you really make friends for life. And two, I just loved seeing, honestly, these 20-something boys being emotional together.
Yeah.
It was really nice to see. And I really love that we have a son who is comfortable in his emotions in that way, like hugging his friends and tearing up and giving a speech and recognizing the moments. It made me feel so at peace, like seeing that side of him. Because obviously our daughter Taylor is a little more emotional than Josh.
Yeah.
But to see that side of him made me think, oh, you know, he's really growing up and he's really in touch with his emotions and he's not shying away from them. That made me feel happy.
I was talking to somebody today who also was an athlete in college, and I said, you know, this, and I don't know if you'll understand this, so I'm interested to hear your take. This will mean more than graduation. This moment will be more indelible and leave a bigger mark than walking across the stage in 2 weeks at graduation. This is the end of school for him. He will graduate, he'll walk across the stage and have that moment, and we'll all be there, and trust me, I will cry again as I cried the other day. But this, to guys, and maybe to women who were athletes as well, this will be the indelible mark that he'll look back on. I felt the same thing. My grandparents were at my graduation. That meant a lot to me, but I remember walking off the field my senior year. I remember where I was, and I remember when it hit me. I remember all that, as opposed to, I kind of remember graduation. I was curious.
Yeah, I see that, and it's about the people you're surrounded by, right? Yeah. I mean, at graduation, I don't know, was it alphabetical? I don't remember who I was sitting with at graduation.
And boy, you're last. I'm at the end. I've thought about this. Zima? Oh, man.
Hey, I get the biggest applause. It's over.
Was there ever like a ZY last name that like trumped you?
But
there was
not many. hard to beat. But one thing I remember about sitting at graduation is, I was so involved with my journalism school. I was the president of organizations, and I spoke at the opening of a new building, and I knew professors. Like, I was very involved. I liked to be busy. I still do. There were kids who got up at graduation from the journalism school in my class who I'd never seen before, and I'd never heard their names before. And, when you're leaving your final lacrosse game, especially as a senior, you know everybody on that team. You're not a freshman who doesn't really know anyone yet. And you know everyone, and you're surrounded by your friends, and you've spent years building these relationships. And it's something you loved doing. Like, I think graduation is just bigger, less intimate, less emotional. And what exactly is it representing? Probably the best moments of graduation are looking up and seeing your family there.
Yeah. And you're, I guess at the end of the day, what you're saying, and it's true, it's about the relationships. It's always about the relationships. And if you've ever been a part of a team, you know, like, I mean, I still text with my college soccer team. Like, we still talk to each other. We still keep in touch and give each other a hard time because nothing has changed. And he'll do that forever with his guys. Yeah. And so it is, I guess it's always about those relationships. And that's what you're saying goodbye to, because you're not going to see those guys next year. They're going to carry on. And that's the other thing. It's that old line in the song, "The World Spins Madly On." You know, the freshmen and sophomore and juniors are picking up their stuff and heading out to have a beer because, like, oh, next year I'll see you at camp. I'll see it, you know, we'll be back at it. You know, better luck next time. And you realize this was my next time. That was it.
And you don't get it until you're in their shoes. Like, I remember being a freshman at my sorority chapter and hearing this, an older girl would speak at each chapter.
Totally.
Which was like a great tradition because they would try to impart wisdom on us. The question was, were we listening? And she advised all of us. She said, I'm telling you, I don't think this is going to sink in, but college isn't about dating boys. It's about making your female friends. And she said that. And I guess on some level it sunk in because I remembered it.
Yeah. And you have the best female friends in the world from Mizzou.
Yes, I do. But then senior year, I finally understood it. I'm like, oh, she was right. It was about the friendships. It wasn't about, you know, you get obsessed and crush over boys, but it was about the friendships.
Well, half the crap our parents say, half the crap I've said as a parent that should hit the mark and it should make a difference. You know, it won't until later. Like, you know, there's things that you'll just know that when they have kids, you'll get it, et cetera. And I don't know if that's like a safety mechanism that God gives us if we're just not aware at certain moments in our life. Because if you walked around like a raw nerve, always aware of these things, you probably would be incapacitated and it would maybe take away from those moments. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, all of a sudden it hit him as he was walking, you know, shaking hands the last time and all that. And you saw him walking off the field and it took me right back. And I mean, I'm 52 years old and I remember it. And now it's weird for me to be watching it as a father, to be watching my son have the same walk I did and the same feelings I did. And I'm so far removed from it, yet now I'm watching him do it. And it's a lot of pride, a lot of nostalgia. And I am just, I'm so damn proud of him. Same thing with Taylor. Now she's going to get annoyed because I'm going to glom onto her for the next 2 years and soak up
two more years at TCU. It makes me so happy too, that they had these years of college together. It's so special. And kind of rare that a brother and sister go to college together. I love seeing them hang out together.
Yeah.
You certainly feel like I look at them the way they hang out and the way Josh is with his friends. And I just think, you know, you just did such a good job with parenting, babe. I mean, I'm so grateful to have these kids in my life. And you two just have done, I mean, you made great kids. And the way they treat other people is what shows you that. By the way, what I was trying to get you to know earlier was that the last play, the term would be like closing night or like the finale. Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to ask you though, two things. One was, I feel like time was hitting you a little bit when you're comparing like Josh's last game to remembering your last game.
Oh, for sure.
What was going through your head? And I don't mean time like of Josh being older. I know that, but like.
No, I talked to my dad last night about this. Yeah. Just like, you know, he's like, life goes by so remarkably fast. And he's like, I remember, this is my dad talking. And he said, my grandfather said to him, you know, it goes by in the blink of an eye. And you hear that as a kid, but you know, the days go by slow, the years go by fast, the old saying, but as you get older, it really does continue to speed up. And I told my dad, I said, you know, I think it's also only when you're blessed and life is great. And because when we are in grief or we are in whatever, those days go by slow. Those moments go by slow. When things are going so swimmingly well and your kids are thriving and your wife is thriving and things are beautiful and we're in a good, you know, season of life, you know, it'll ebb and flow and there will be the ups and downs. But it definitely caught me off guard of, I am at this point in my life, and I'm now watching my son wrap things up and head off into the real world. So it definitely makes you realize life goes by fast.
I'm a big believer too in like continuing to do, I don't know. I think sometimes it's important to take those moments in, but then also like, I don't like the, it's over and done. By that, I mean, like Josh is already talking about, okay, you might play on a lacrosse team.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's looking at one here in Austin, I think, for when he's in his early 20s. And I loved theater in school, but I went on to take improv classes and do improv teams in my 20s. And I know you did some soccer teams. Does it feel really different or does it scratch that itch?
And again, I think what, again, the good Lord gives us the ability, especially at that age, what's next? And, you know, I never thought high school was the greatest moment in life. I never looked at college as the greatest moment in life. I always thought what was next. And so I think at that age, Josh is already excited about his job. He's already excited about getting his first apartment. That was me. I was like, as soon as I was done, I was sad about walking off the field, missing my boys, but I was going to be a sportscaster. I was about to get my first job. And I was so fired up to launch my career that that was my goal. I've always been like that in life about what's next, looking. And I don't mean in an ungrateful way. I don't mean I don't appreciate the moment. I really do. I think I'm very good about that. But I always, whether you're setting goals, setting the bar higher, pushing yourself, I've always thought what's next in life. And so in that moment in college, I was like, great, I'm going on to be a sportscaster. At the time, I didn't know it would be in Oklahoma City. I thought I was going to have to go to a much smaller circuit and market to start. I got very lucky to start in Oklahoma City with a great mentor, Bill Teagans. But I think that's where Josh is. Like he'll be sad that afternoon and he moves on. He's on to the next. And yeah, I played a little semi-pro soccer. I did, you know, sports casting. I was so fired up about everything going on in life. It's really later when the sadness kind of turns to memories.
Mm.
And those memories, and I kind of think grief might be like this, and you could probably fill me in. It's like that gutting, and it's different, a different level of grief, but like that open wound slowly turns to great memories. There's still sadness. You still can lament the fact that it's gone, but like now I have memories, and it's like, I don't know if it was like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, does Josh finishing lacrosse feel like an open wound?
At first it does.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's raw. It's a raw nerve. You're sad and you
feel emotion. Here's the thing. I'm realizing this as you're talking. I have never like been that sad when things were ending.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember my last improv comedy show with my comedy group that I loved in college. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it. I think I was always like, even more and on to the next person, which yeah. I'm not saying is a good thing. I just was very...
Well, I think it is a good thing in people. No, I think it's a great attribute.
Like I didn't really, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really get sad about, I called myself an emotional shedder. I'm like, don't be sad. It's over. Be glad it happened. Let's keep going.
I think, and I respect this about you and I know this about you, which is another reason I'm saying it. I think high functioning, successful people mm-hmm. are always looking at what's next, even when things are great, but also when things are bad. Like you don't get too high with the highs. You don't get too low with the lows. You're just like, okay, I can do better. I can push myself. I can continue to raise the bar in my life, no matter what it is. I think it's an admirable quality to have. And I think I see it in successful people.
I think I've had open wounds when things ended traumatically or badly, mm-hmm. but kind of like we were talking about with grief, to me, I didn't have that reaction with something like lacrosse ending. It's like, well, we knew this was coming and this is the natural order of things and this is okay. It's certainly awesome to reflect on it. Like I said, I'm so glad I saw Josh taking the moment in.
Yeah.
And babe, if you want to still play soccer, you can go join a team somewhere.
I've escaped with my knees intact. I think I'm good. but you know, what Josh doesn't know and what you didn't know, what I didn't know when we were leaving those organizations is the lessons you've learned that are going to pay dividends so much in the rest of your life. So proud of him. TCU lacrosse family, thank you guys. It was a great run for 4 years. TCU has been a great run and a great home for him for 4 years. Graduation's coming up next. Babe, it was good to catch up. I'm glad this is a little different podcast today. We just wanted to catch up and we love talking to you guys and we will do it again next time because we have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at the most dramatic pod ever and make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. I'll talk to you next time. You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified? Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified, diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.